Damodar must will begin with Damodar Astakam. Om Agina Timirandasya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada Srila Guru Maharaj Srila Gurudev Srila Acharya Dev Ki Jai Gaur Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol Namam Ishwaram Sachiranda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Brajamanam Yashodabi Yoluka Ladavamanam Param Ristapan Tatato Drutugopya Rudanta Muhur Netra Yugmam Rajantam Karam Bojo Yukmena Satanka Netram Muhu Swasakam Pati Rekanka Kanta Stita Graivam Damodaram Bhaktibadam Itri Triksvalila Birananda Kunde Swagosham Nima Jantam Akyapayantam Tadiye Sitageshu Bhaktar Jitatvam Puna Prematastam Satavritti Vande Varam Deva Moksham Namoksha Vadimba Nachanyam Vrineham Bharisharapiha Idam teva purnata gopala balam sadame manasya virastim astam kimanyai Idam te mukambojam atyanta nilair vritam kuntalai snigda raktaischa gopya muhu shumbitam bimba rakta darame Manasya virastam alam lakshalabha Namo deva damodar ananta vishno Prasida prabodhuka jalabdi magnam Kripadristi vristyati dinam batanu Grihanesha mahamagyam edyakshidrishya Kuveratmado Bhadda Murtyai Vayadavar Tvaya Mochito Bhakti Bhajo Krito Cha Tata Prema Bhaktim Svakam Me Prayacha Namo Kshe Graho Mesti Namo Dareha Namaste Studamne Spora Dipti Damne Vadiyodarayata Vishvasya Damne Namo Radhikayai Tvadiya Priyayai Namo Nantalilaya Devaya Tupyam Namam Ishwaram Satchit Anandarupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Brajamanam Yashoda Biolukaladavamanam Param Rishyamatyanta Todruta Gopya. So, Shyamasundar Prabhu, would you like to read the first two translations?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Prabhu.
To the Supreme Controller who possesses an eternal form of bliss, knowledge, whose glistening earrings swing to and fro, who manifests himself in Gokula, who stole the butter that the gopis kept hanging from from the rafters in their storerooms, and who then quickly jumped up and ran in retreat in fear of Mother Yashoda, but was ultimately caught at the Supreme Lord Sri Damodar, offer my humble obeisances. Second verse. Upon seeing his mother's whipping stick, he cried and rubbed his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. His eyes were fearful and his breathing quick, and his mother shot him his belly with ropes. He shivered in fright and his pearl necklace shook. To the Supreme Lord Sri Damodar, I offer my humble obeisances.
Thank you. And then Jadu Krishna Prabhu, if you'd like to read.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Next two, huh?
Yes. Number three. Those super excellent pastimes of Lord Krishna's babyhood drown the inhabitants of Gokula in pools of ecstasy. To the devotees who are attracted only to his majestic aspect of Narayan in Vaikuntha, the Lord herein reveals, I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. To the Supreme Lord, Damodar, my obeisances hundreds and hundreds of times. Number four. O Lord, although you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray to you for liberation, nor eternal life in Vaikuntha, nor any other boon. My only prayer is that your childhood pastimes may constantly appear in my mind. O Lord, I do not even want to know your feature of Paramatma. I simply wish that your childhood pastimes may ever be enacted in my heart.
You see here he says, I do not pray to you for liberation. Liberation means mukti. Although you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, I don't pray for liberation. I don't even want life in Vaikuntha, nor any other boon. My only prayer is that your pastimes may appear in my heart. Neither even Paramatma or anything. Then Kusum Devi, number five and six.
O Lord, the cheeks of your blackish lotus face, which is encircled by locks of curling hair, have become reddened like bimba fruit due to Mother Yashoda's kisses. What more can I describe than this? Millions of opulences are of no use to me, but may this vision constantly remain in my mind. O Unlimited, O Master, O Lord, be pleased upon me. I am drowning in an ocean of sorrow, and I'm almost like a dead man. Please shower the rain of mercy on me, uplift me, and protect me with your nectarian vision.
And then Shamsundar Prabhu, the last two.
Thank you, Maharaj. Seven. O Lord Damodar, in your form as a baby, Mother Yashoda bound you to a grinding stone with a rope for tying cows. You then freed the sons of Kuvera, Mangigriva, and Nalakuvara, who were cursed to stand as trees, and you gave them the chance to become your devotees. Please bless me in this same way. I have no desire for liberation into your effulgence. Eight. O Lord, the entire universe was created by Lord Brahma, who was born from your abdomen, which was bound by rope by Mother Yashoda. To this rope I offer my humble obeisances. I offer my obeisances to your most beloved Srimati Radharani and to your unlimited pastimes.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Why to this rope? Why is he offering obeisances to the rope? What is so great about this rope? Anything?
Maharaj, does the rope signify attachment, devotion?
Yes, but why this rope? What is it? What is the indication here that this rope is so worshipable? Why? What is that? What is that that can bound Krishna? That can go around Krishna and hold him? Can you imagine anything more? Anything greater than that? What can possibly bind Krishna? Well, if anything can bind Krishna, that must be very, very great, no? Krishna, who's the greatest, is being bound by a rope. This is something amazing. inconceivable. How the infinite can be bound by a rope. What great position that rope must have to have that character, characteristic. That characteristic is mentioned here along with the name Radharani. She also has that characteristic. Then what greatness we can understand about Radharani. She is able to bind Krishna by her love. So that same greatness we find in some object that can be so great that it can bind the Lord, the Supreme Infinite Personality of Godhead. We find that same greatness in Srimati Radharani and also in Mother Yashoda, who was also able to do that by her motherly love. But Sahya Ras and Paragya Ras. Hare Krishna. All right. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:12:29, the birth of Emperor Parikshit. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Iti Ragya Upadisha. Vipraja jataka kovidaha labda pachita yaksarve prati jagmuhu swakan grihan. Dandavats Pushottam Prabhu.
Dandavats Maharaj.
Dandavats. We're on 1:12:29. Those who were expert in astrological knowledge and in performance of the birth ceremony instructed King Yudhisthira about the future history of his child. Then, being sumptuously remunerated, they all returned to their respective homes. Remunerated. All right, purport. The Vedas are the storehouse of knowledge, both material and spiritual. But such knowledge aims at perfection of self-realization. In other words, the Vedas are the guides for the civilized man in every respect. Since human life is the opportunity to get free from all material miseries, it is properly guided by the knowledge of the Vedas in the matters of both material needs and spiritual salvation. The specific intelligent class of men who were devoted particularly to the knowledge of the Vedas were called the Vipras, or the graduates of the Vedic knowledge. There are different branches of knowledge in the Vedas, of which astrology and pathology are two important branches necessary for the common man. So the intelligent men, generally known as the Brahmanas, took up all the different branches of Vedic knowledge to guide society. Even the Department of Military Education, Dhanurved, was also taken up by such intelligent men. And the Vipras were also teachers of this section of knowledge, as were Dronacharya, Kripacharya, etc. The word vipra mentioned herein is significant. There is a little difference between the vipras and the brahmanas. The vipras are those who are expert in karmakanda, or fruitive activities, guiding the society towards fulfilling the material necessities of life, whereas the brahmanas are expert in spiritual knowledge of transcendence. This department of knowledge is called jnanakanda. And above this, there is the upasanakanda. The culmination of upasanakanda is the devotional service of the Lord Vishnu. And when the brahmanas achieve perfection, they are called Vaishnavas. Vishnu worship is the highest of the modes of worship. Elevated brahmins are Vaishnavas, engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the science of devotional service, is very dear to the Vaishnavas. And as explained in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the mature fruit of Vedic knowledge and is superior subject matter above the three khandhas, namely Karmakand, Jnanakand, and Upasanakand. Amongst the Karmakand experts, the Jataka expert, Vipras, were good astrologers who could tell all the future history of a born child simply by the astral calculations of the time called Lagna. Such expert Jataka Vipras were present during the birth of Maharaj Parikshit and his grandfather, Maharaj Yudhisthira, awarded the Vipras sufficiently with gold, land, villages, grains and other valuable necessities of life, which also include cows. There is a need of such vipras in the social structure, and it is the duty of the state to maintain them comfortably as designed in the Vedic procedure. Such expert vipras, being sufficiently paid by the state, could give free service to the people in general, and thus this department of Vedic knowledge could be available for all. So the Vipras, the Brahmanas, and the Vaishnavas, three different significances. These three names, similar in certain quality in that they are all learned, even the Vaishnav. It also knows the whole purport of the scripture. You may not, Vaishnav actually doesn't necessarily have to be learned in the Vedic knowledge, but he has already surpassed all Vedic knowledge, Vaishnav. He understood, therefore, even if he is not educated in Sanskrit, etc., who has actually understood that Krishna is the supreme object of worship and of devotion, then he is to be understood to have surpassed all Brahminical and other knowledge of the Vedas. Krishna says in the Gita, Vedais chasarvam aham eva vedyo. I am to be known by all the Vedas. So Vaishnava, who has understood that, has actually surpassed all the Vedas, had come to the proper conclusion of all the Vedas, then what is the need of detailed knowledge of that? That's knowledge, detailed knowledge of the Vedas, etc. That is only for those who are making progress toward the goal. Who has reached the goal, then all those instructions are not necessary for such a soul. It has already, in previous lives, encompassed all of those and comprehended all of them in order to be able to come to that highest position. Had no need for any learning. Had learned all that is needed to be learned already. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Then Next. Sa esha loke vikyataha aparikshit iti yat prabhu purvam dristam anuryayan aparikshita nareshviha. So his son will become famous in the world as Parikshit, or examiner, because he would come to examine all human beings in his search after that personality whom he saw before his birth. Thus he would come to constantly contemplate him. When Parikshit was in the womb, the Ashwatthama weapon was released and he was being protected by Narayan in the womb, while he was still in the womb. And as a baby, he saw that, and he could not forget what he had seen. So he was called Parikshit, always looking for that, again, within that Narayan who is within everything, is so powerful. He can protect against anything. Purport. Maharaj Parikshit, fortunate as he was, got the impression of the Lord even in the womb of his mother. And thus his contemplation on the Lord was constantly with him. Once the impression of the transcendental form of the Lord is fixed in one's mind, one can never forget him in any circumstance. Child Parikshit, after coming out of the womb, was in the habit of examining everyone to see whether he was that same personality whom he first saw in the womb. But no one could be equal to or more attractive than the Lord, and therefore he never accepted anyone. But the Lord was constantly with him by such examination, and thus Maharaj Parikshit was always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord by remembrance, smaranam. Srila Jiva Goswami remarks in this connection that every child, if given an impression of the Lord from his very childhood, certainly becomes a great devotee of the Lord like Maharaj Parikshit. One may not be as fortunate as Maharaj Parikshit to have the opportunity to see the Lord in the womb of his mother, but even if he is not so fortunate, he can be made so if the parents of the child desire him to be so. There is a practical example in my personal life in this connection. My father was a pure devotee of the Lord. And when I was only 4 or 5 years old, my father gave me a couple of forms of Radha and Krishna. In a playful manner, I used to worship these deities along with my sister. And I used to imitate the performances of a neighboring temple of Radha Govinda. By constantly visiting this neighboring temple and copying the ceremonies in connection with my own deities of play, I developed a natural affinity for the Lord. My father used to observe all the ceremonies befitting my position. Later on, these activities were suspended due to my association in the schools and colleges, and I became completely out of practice. But in my youthful days, when I met my spiritual master, Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, again, I revived my old habit, and the same playful deities became my worshipful deities in proper regulation. This was followed up until I left my family connection, and I am pleased that my generous father gave the first impression, which was developed later into regulative devotional service by his divine grace. Maharaj Prahlad also advised that such impressions of a godly relation must be impregnated from the beginning of childhood. Others may miss the opportunity of the human form of life, which is very valuable, although it is temporary like others. Just like our Nimai Prabhu, what is his name? Nimai or Nityananda? Shama Sundar?
Nitai.
Nitai.
Nita. Yes, Nita.
Yes. It is so fortunate to have Vaishnava parents. And from his childhood, he's always hearing these things. What great fortune to have such training in one's childhood. How old is he now?
He's approaching 5 years, Maharaj.
5 years. Die. All right, 31. Saraja Putra Vavridhe Ashu Shukla Ivo Dupaha Apuryamanaha Pitribihi Akshatabir Ivasonvaham. As the moon in its waxing fortnight develops day after day, so the royal prince Parikshit very soon developed luxuriantly under the care and full facilities of his guardian grandfathers. Yakshamano Samedina Yati Droha Jihasraya Raja Labda Dano Dadyo Nantyatra Kara Dandayaho. Just at this time, King Yudhisthira was considering performing a horse sacrifice to get freed from sins incurred from fighting with kinsmen. But he became anxious to get some wealth, for there were no surplus funds outside of fines and tax collection. Report. As the Brahmins and Vipers had a right to be subsidized by the state, the state executive head had the right to collect taxes and fines from the citizens. After the Battle of Kurukshetra, the state treasury was exhausted, and therefore there was no surplus fund except the fund from tax collection and fines. Such funds were sufficient only for the state budget, and having no excess fund, the king was anxious to get more wealth in some other way in order to perform the horse sacrifice. Maharaj Yudhisthira wanted to perform the sacrifice under the instruction of Bhishma Dev. Tarabhi pretam alaksha Brataro chutta choditaha nanam prahinam ajarhur uricham dishiburishaha. Understanding the hearty wishes of the king, his brothers, as advised by the infallible Lord Krishna, collected sufficient riches from the north left by King Maruta. Report. Maharaj Maruta, one of the great emperors of the world. He reigned over the world long before the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was the son of Maharaj Avikshit and was a great devotee of the sun god, known as Yamaraj. His brother, Samrata, was a rival priest of the great Brihaspati, the learned priest of the demigods. He conducted one sacrifice called Shankara Yajna, by which the Lord was so satisfied that he was pleased to hand over to him the charge of a mountain peak of gold. This peak of gold is somewhere in the Himalaya Mountains, and modern adventurers may try to find it there. He was so powerful an emperor that all the days, that at the day's end of sacrifice, the demigods from the other planets like Indra, Chandra, and Brihaspati used to visit his palace. And because he had the gold peak of his at his disposal, he had sufficient gold in his possession. The canopy of that sacrificial altar was completely made of gold. In his daily performances of the sacrificial ceremonies, some of the inhabitants of the Vayuloka, or area planets, were invited to expedite the cooking work of the ceremony, and the assembly of the demigods in this ceremony was led by Vishvadev. By his constant pious work, he was able to drive out all kinds of diseases from the jurisdiction of his kingdom. All the inhabitants of higher planets, like Devalok and Pitrilok, were pleased with him for his great sacrificial ceremonies. Every day he used to give in charity to the learned Brahmins such things as bedding, seats, conveyances, and sufficient quantities of gold. Because of munificent charities and the performances of innumerable sacrifices, the King of Heaven, Indradev, was fully satisfied with him and always wished for his welfare. Due to his pious activities, he remained a young man throughout his life and reigned over the world for 1,000 years, surrounded by his satisfied subjects, ministers, legitimate wife, sons, and brothers. Even Lord Sri Krishna praised his spirit of pious activities. He handed over his only daughter to Maharishi Angira, and by his good blessings, he was elevated to the kingdom of heaven. First of all, he wanted to offer the priesthood of his sacrifices to learned Brihaspati, but the demigod refused to accept the post because of the king's being a human being, a man of this earth. He was very sorry for this, but on the advice of Narada Muni, he appointed Samvarta to the post, and he was successful in his mission. The success of a particular type of sacrifice completely depends on the priest in charge. In this age, all kinds of sacrifices are forbidden because there is no learned priest among the so-called Brahmins who go by the false notion of becoming sons of Brahmins without brahminical qualifications. In this age of Kali, therefore, only one kind of sacrifice is recommended, Sankirtan Jagya, as inaugurated by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tena samrita sambharo dharma putro yudhisthira avaji medai stribir bhuto yagyahai samyajadarim. By those riches, the king could procure the ingredients for 3 horse sacrifices. Thus, the pious King Yudhisthira, who was very fearful after the battle of Kurukshetra, pleased the personality of Godhead. Purport. Maharaj Yudhisthira was the ideal and celebrated pious king of the world. And still he was greatly afraid after the execution of the battle of Kurukshetra, because of the mass killings in the fight, all of which was done only to install him on the throne. He therefore took all the responsibility for sins committed in the warfare, and to get rid of all those sins, he wanted to perform these sacrifices in which horses are offered at the altar. Such a sacrifice is very costly. Even Maharaj Yudhisthira had to collect the necessary heaps of gold left by Maharaj Maruta and the Brahmins, who were given gold in charity by King Maruta. The learned Brahmins could not take away all the loads of gold given by Maharaj Maruta, and therefore they left behind the major portion of the gift. And Maharaj Maruta also did not collect such heaps of gold given away in charity. Besides that, all the golden plates and utensils which were used in the sacrifice were also thrown in the dustbins, and all such heaps of gold remained unclaimed property for a long time, till Maharaj Yudhisthira collected them for his own purposes. Lord Sri Krishna advised the brothers of Maharaj Yudhisthira to collect the unclaimed property because it belonged to the king. The more astonishing thing is that no subject of the state also collected such unclaimed gold for industrial enterprise or anything like that. This means that the state citizens were completely satisfied with all necessities of life and therefore not inclined to accept unnecessary productive enterprises for sense gratification. Maharaj Yudhisthira also requisitioned the heaps of gold for performing sacrifices and for pleasing the Supreme Hari, personality of Godhead. Otherwise, he had no desire to collect them for the state treasury. One should take lesson from the acts of Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was afraid of sins committed on the battlefield, and therefore he wanted to satisfy the Supreme Authority. This indicates that unintentional sins are also committed in our daily occupational discharge of duties. And to counteract even such unintentional crimes, one must perform sacrifices as they are recommended in the revealed scriptures. Excuse me. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Yagyar Tat Karmanon Yatra Lokal Yam Karma Bandhanaha, that one must perform sacrifices recommended in the scriptures in order to get rid of commitments of all unauthorized work or even unintentional crimes which we are apt to commit. By doing so, one shall be freed from all kinds of sins. Those who do not do so but work for self-interest or sense gratification have to undergo all tribulations accrued from committed sins. Therefore, the main purpose of performing sacrifices is to satisfy the Supreme Personality, Hari. The process of performing sacrifices may be different in terms of different times, places, and persons, but the aim of such sacrifices is one and the same at all times and in all circumstances, namely satisfaction of the Supreme Lord Hari. And that is the way of pious life, and that is the way of peace and prosperity in the world at large. Maharaj Yudhisthira did all these as the ideal pious king in the world. If Maharaj Yudhisthira is a sinner in his daily discharge of duties and royal administration of state affairs, wherein killing of man and animal is recognized art, then we can just imagine the amount of sins committed consciously or unconsciously by the untrained population of the Kali Yuga who have no way to perform sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord. The Bhagavatam says, therefore, that the prime duty of the human being is to satisfy the Supreme Lord by the performance of one's occupational duty. Bhagavatam 1.2.13. Let any man of any place or community, caste or creed, be engaged in any sort of occupational duty, but he must agree to perform sacrifices as is recommended in the scriptures for the particular place, time, and person. In the Vedic literatures, it is recommended that in Kali Yuga, people engage in glorifying the Lord by chanting the holy name of Krishna, Kirtanad, Eva Krishnasya, Mukta Sangha Param Vrajat, without offense. By doing so, one can be freed from all sins and thus can attain the highest perfection of life by returning home back to Godhead. We have already discussed this more than once in this great literature in different places, especially in the introductory portion by sketching the life of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and still we are repeating the same with a view to bring about peace and prosperity in society. The Lord has declared openly in Bhagavad Gita how he becomes pleased with us. And the same process is practically demonstrated in the life and preaching work of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The perfect process of performing yagyas or sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord Hari, the personality of Godhead, who gets us free from all miseries of existence, is to follow the ways of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this dark age of quarrel and dissension. Maharaj Yudhisthira had to collect heaps of gold to secure the paraphernalia for the horse sacrifice yagyas in days of sufficiency. So we can hardly think of such performance of yagyas in these days of insufficiency and complete scarcity of gold. At the present moment, we have heaps of papers and promises of their being converted into gold by economic development of modern civilization. And still there is no possibility of spending riches like Maharaj Yudhisthira, either individually or collectively, or by state patronization. Just suitable, therefore, for this age is the method recommended by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in terms of the Shastra. Such a method requires no expenditure at all, and yet can award more benefit than other repetitive expensive methods of yoga performances. The horse sacrifice or yagya or cow sacrifice yagya performed by the Vedic regulations shouldn't be misunderstood as a process of killing animals. On the contrary, animals offered for the yoga were rejuvenated to a new span of life by the transcendental power of chanting the Vedic hymns, which, if properly chanted, are different from what is understood by the common layman. The Vedic mantras are all practical, and the proof is rejuvenation of the sacrificed animal. Oh, there is no possibility of such methodical chanting of the Vedic hymns by the so-called Brahmins or priests of the present age. The untrained descendants of the twice-born families are no more like their forefathers, and thus they are counted amongst the Sudras, or once-born men. The once-born man is unfit to chant the Vedic hymns. Therefore, there is no practical utility of chanting the original hymns. And to save them all, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu propounded the Sankirtan movement, or Yajna, for all practical purposes, and the people of the present age are strongly recommended to follow the sure and recognized path. Any questions?
I wanted to ask, what is the meaning of sacrifice? Means they have something that they are giving up, or what is the actually real, what you can say, meaning of that word, yajna? And whether it is there only in material world and it is not there in the spiritual world, or so that I wanted to know, what is the meaning of this yajna or sacrifice?
I'm thinking yajna sounds like yoga. It means to be performed, yajna, yajaitva, yajna, sacrifice. Yajna. Yeah, is also there. If it means to know, knowledge. So yajna seems to be a form of dedication, huh? Sacrifice of giving. Of course, dedication is different from yajna. Yajna means to sacrifice, but bhakti or devotion is more than sacrifice. Sacrifice means you have something and you're giving that up. Right? What you have, you're claiming possession of something as mine and then renouncing that and giving that up to serve, to satisfy the Lord. So it's a method of self-sacrifice, yajna. But higher than yajna is Bhakti's self-forgetfulness. In bhakti, one doesn't have any sense of possession of one's own, that he has to give it up. And Shuddha Bhakti, dedication is something higher than yajna. Even Sankirtan Yajna, one performs that for purification, for developing love of God. But once that love is awakened, that is higher thing. One has spontaneous attraction for the name. And then it is an expression of ecstatic love. The chanting of the name brings one to the platform of ecstatic love. is beyond self-sacrifice or sacrifice. Sacrifice has the meaning or the implication of that is one is giving up something. So the sense of possessing is there. But in the level of pure bhakti, pure dedication, there's no sense of possessing something and giving that, I would think. I don't know, that's what I would say, Maharaj.
For a long time, I always, you know, think about this word, you know, when sacrifice and yagya comes. So I was always thinking whether it is like something that, you know, this world, you know, like the, it is being told that demigods get some benefit from this yagya when, you know, Lord is being satisfied by the people of this world.
Yes.
So,
well, that's worship of the demigod, that type. But one can also perform yagya for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord.
No, even Supreme Lord, when they, one does the yagya, demigods get their, you know, things. So that's why demons generally, Maharaj, stop the yagyas when they want to get the power over demigods. So they want to make them weak by stopping the yagyas. So yagya seems to be that, you know, those people who have not yet completely freed from, you know, this idea of self.
Yes.
I was thinking...
That's the right understanding. Because yagya, by sacrificing, is like tapasya also. Something like tapasya, because you're getting good credit for that. Just like every man has to suffer and enjoy so much in this world according to his karma, right? Every man has to suffer or enjoy according to the karma that he has. He will get so much suffering and so much enjoyment. Not that everyone will only suffer their whole life. They will get some enjoyment too, according to their karma. Then if you purposefully or intentionally take suffering upon yourself in your life, let us say you're supposed to be enjoying, but instead you take suffering upon, you make some sacrifice, and you willingly take suffering upon yourself, then the karmic balance is interrupted, and the amount of punishment you are getting, supposed to get in this life from your karma, you are increasing that negative. And so a positive result must come out about. Some kind of enjoyment must be the result of taking extra suffering upon yourself. Some extra enjoyment must come according to the karmic balance, according to the karmic account. Understand? You may have a lot of money. I mean, you may be enjoying because of that money. But if you purposely take that money and give that away, then the amount of good karma that you had is going to remain plus what you've given away. You should be enjoying, but instead of enjoying, you sacrifice that. Then that enjoyment will come in a different way, in a higher way, in order to fill the gap. And this way the karmic balance is adjusted. But the devotee is beyond that. Huh? Devotion is beyond this karmic balance, the good and bad karma results. It is only for the plane of mundane existence. So beyond that, piercing beyond the karmic plane, one comes to the plane of bhakti. And there, all this good and bad, happiness and distress, that is completely put aside, that is not considered. And one comes to the transcendental position. That's why this mukti and so forth, liberation, is not significant for the devotee. You're not interested in becoming happy or leaving. You're not interested in worrying about the pains that he is suffering in this world. That doesn't become a matter for his attention. The miseries of this world are not a matter for his, for wasting his time. For the devotee, it is a waste of time to think how I can make my situation in this world happy. No question of happiness here. So he's only concerned how I can serve. Good times or bad times doesn't make any difference. Just so the devotees sometimes pray, if you want, you can send me to hell as long as I can remember you and then serve you. I don't care. Hell, heaven, it makes no difference to me. Whatever position I am in, if I can serve you, then fine, I'm happy. If you are happy, then that is, and by putting me in hell makes you happy, then I'm going. I'll go there very happily.
Maharaj Prabhupada.
What?
Maharaj Prabhupada sometimes told in purports that, you know, devotee voluntarily takes difficulties.
Oh, yes.
So it seems that, you know, that is thinking towards, you know, more surrender maybe, you know, he takes such position.
He likes difficulty, then he can remember Krishna more intently. Kunti Devi was praying, put me in difficulties, I like it. And then I'm thinking of you more intently. And that thinking of you is the most precious thing in my life. If I am thinking of you, even in a distressful condition, that pleasure of remembering you, being able to remember you, is so high, it conquers over all stressful conditions. Devotional service is a purely transcendental activity, not depending on our happiness or distress. Hard to understand, but anyhow, that is the case. How much renunciation devotee has, not by deliberately renouncing, but by getting the higher taste, all the lower things is renounced automatically. All desire for pleasure or whatever in this world, immediately renounced. I was thinking just the other day when we were talking about Arjuna. Krishna asked Arjuna, I want you to kill all your relations. Kill all your relations with others. Mam ekam sharanam vaja. Your business is to carry out my will. Arjuna was a very kind-hearted person, a devotee. So he was always thinking about others, how to please others. Krishna said, no, don't put your mind on those things. That is all foolishness. You are a fool to think in such sentimental terms. All these relationships you have, you are concerned about them. Mudha, this is Mudha's business, not for you. You are my servant, and you must do my will. And therefore you cut all these other interests and serve my interests. This is the highest thing. Don't be foolish. Faith means to put water in the root and everything else will be watered. We'll get the benefit. Don't think you have to serve so many branches and leaves to get benefit the tree. No, this is only for foolish persons to think that way. My intelligent devotee knows I am the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. You serve me, then all these things will be served. Don't be like a silly person, then you'll be useless to me. If Arjuna was thinking like that, no, I can't do this to my relatives and this, that, and the other thing, Bhagavad Gita would never have been spoken. Krishna would have had no one to talk to. And the way he did, giving the most secret knowledge. So we must understand it very carefully. Nishkam, huh? Nishkam Shanta. Nishkam means I have no other desires except that of serving Krishna. The only desire. And all other things are useless. Useless waste of time. That is transcendental realization. And there, the great warrior Arjuna was chosen. He was selected. And this came also in his, when he had to shoot that arrow. We could see. He was so focused. He was not seeing anything but that black of the eye of the fish that he had to shoot. That kind of training he was brought up in. So perfect yogi, perfect training, perfect discipline. And therefore he was able to focus his mind on his service to Krishna. And all other considerations, they were as nothing. Not that they were easy for him to give up. He had to struggle. And Krishna had to again and again berate him. Why you are doing this like a fool? Mudha, he called him so many things. He told in very strong language. Behaving like an uneducated person. By not understanding these highest philosophy, the highest conception. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. It's like that. He had to give up all those other sentimental attachments. With one-pointed intelligence, he took up his service. Killing all other relationships for the sake of it, one relationship with the Lord. What was his? That was the instruction that Krishna gave in Gita to Arjuna. Don't be connected to all these other relations. That is not your real business. Govinda Maharaj, I heard once, he said, this society conscious, because society is eyewash, just an eyewash. For those who are interested in that type of thing, is eyewash, wastage of time. Devotee is interested only in Krishna's service. Of course, that means under the direction of Gurudev, but still, this is his only interest. Everything else should be killed, sacrificed. All right, I think we'll end now. Dandavat Prabhus.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Dandavat Pranam. Here, Maharaj, there are three devotees here.
Yes.
Sukumar Prabhu is there, and also Sumitro, one new devotee came, and also our Tilak Prabhu is there. They're all listening here.
Ah, Dandavat. They all know English?
You know English? One devotee know English, Maharaj.
Okay. Others are just hearing. All right. Dhanavats, Dhanavats, everyone.
Dhanavats, everyone.
Dhanavats, Maharaj.
Maharaj.
Jai.
Jai.